Hey, kiddies, let me tell you about my friends over at TaxAct.com. Filing your federal taxes with TaxAct.com is easy, fast, and it's free. TaxAct.com is easy. They will guide you every step of the way, and it's fast. Start anywhere and finish anytime on your computer, tablet, or phone. Save money, get your maximum refund guaranteed, no restrictions. At TaxAct.com, federal taxes are free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. Sounds too good to be true. Well, it ain't, baby. It's TaxAct.com. So, check it out. TaxAct.com/Adam. That's TaxAct.com/Adam. TaxAct. You got this, baby. Hey, Chickapees. Ace Man here. Before we get started, I want to thank you for sharing this product with a friend. Honestly, the only reason we're here and the lights are on and we've been going strong for over 4 years now is because of you and you telling a friend, a loved one, and or a coworker. So thank you so much in advance and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, actor Tyler Labine, plus Allison Rosen on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a visit with David Wilde. And now, going to a go-go, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Not to get it on, no choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. We are going to be doing a live podcast. See how the fudge is packed. Coming up in Buffalo and Irvine in Las Vegas. And then I'm doing some stand-up in Detroit. And it's coming up very soon, January 30th. And then us in Buffalo on February 1st. Signing a bunch of Mangria bottles all over the nation as well. Coming to a town near you. So you can go to Corolla Drinks or AdamCarolla.com and find out where we're going to be and when we're going to be there. All right. Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And the bald one, Bald Brian.
Take them teeth out when you sucking my dick, ho.
At SoxGo2009 wanted that on the Twitter hashtag top drop.
David Wilde is with us.
And the Grammy for Best Podcaster goes to Adam Carolla.
Well, you know, they laughed when they talked about Grammys for hip-hop artists and things like that. Amir, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago. I don't know how long it's been going on, but it seemed absurd. How many years have Grammys been going on for?
This is 56.
Right. So categories like rock and roll and things like that must have gotten added. So if this is 56, then we're talking about 58. Or am I screwing that up?
Well, yeah. They do. They've semi recently.
I mean, 1958.
They do comedy albums. They do spoken word albums. They do liner notes. They do
right.
I will actually bring up podcast. I think it'd be a great category.
Well, if seeing how it started in 1958 or 57, 58, whatever it was, it must have been. Is it Chamber or Baroque? And
go
the
for
envelope.
Baroque. Go right. For Baroque.
Thank you for coming out tonight. Sorry, I didn't have a chance to finish your salad. Like, what did they have? I mean, there was no hip-hop.
Adam,
I mean, it's a bunch of jazz or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
About 5 years ago, they asked me to write the Grammy book, the official, and the Grammy goes to. It was actually called, it was like a coffee table book about the Grammys. I watched every show that is on TV because there were a few that were not, and I had to look at, like, lithographs. But it's amazing to see the show's transition because, like, you saw it sort of like Andy Williams hosting, John Denver hosting. You see the sort of,
right.
You know, it's the journey to LL Cool J.
Right.
All Rosalie to LL.
That's right. I'm guessing for the first, 30 years, the only black folk were filling water glasses at that place?
No, not at all. That's not at all true. It was actually pretty good that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pretty good that way.
Wow. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're giving out stuff for musicals and stuff like that. Well, it must have been musicals and movie scores.
Oh, yeah. No.
And things like that.
Yes.
But when.
Well,
it seems that was
1960 or
1958.
Oh, the Beatles were winning within like 1965 in like February. I think they were winning their first Grammy.
They put, you know, Andy Williams was in the rock and roll category, maybe the punk category. But. they added rock and roll. Somebody will get us a list. But they must have steadily added categories.
Oh, yeah. They're always evolving. Every year, things change.
I would have guessed they would have added rock and roll either right away or very, very soon because it was the recording industry that was doing the awards. And therefore, who was selling more records than Elvis Presley
and
Little Richard?
I'll bring you guys a copy for the studio of the book, which tells you the whole history of every category.
And don't worry about that.
Yeah, no, I will. I need to get it out of my house.
And
I love that in some CeeLo books.
So you've coaxed LL out of hibernation to host again.
I talked to him yesterday, and I'm hoping – I just want to say I am very happy. He's so great. He's a great to work with. He's a great guy.
And so he's working it again. Everyone's going to perform as per usual, right?
Yeah, I can't reveal too much, but we got a couple Beatles. We got which is pretty much where Maxie had it too. We got just about everyone you can think of. Daft Punk. I think they've only performed twice in this first time in 6 years they're performing anywhere, and the last time was at the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's been confirmed, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were people who rhymed with Beyonce.
Wow.
Madonna.
Whoa.
Who is it?
Yeah, exactly. Bingo Har.
Yeah.
Mall Partney. You know, it could be anybody.
I think they were on – I've seen them on the commercials already or something, or at least –
yeah,
maybe not performing, but at least their faces were popped
Bingo
up,
or Mull.
Popped up there.
We got Taylor Swift.
Sure.
We got Pink. Pink. The performance by Pink, I don't know if you remember last time she performed, but she's going to actually try to outdo herself, which is one of the great performances ever.
I love me some Pink.
Was that the hanging in the air over the...
Yeah, that was hanging in the air.
Even I remember that.
I did not know you were a Pink fan.
We had her on Loveline. Many, many years ago, she was like brassy and fun and like punched me in the arm and called me Chuck and told me her brother was a massive Man Show fan or something and wanted to take a picture or something like that. I just remember her being sort of spunky and fun. Whatever her personality seems to be, it's kind of that.
And do you feel like her music is akin to my favorite song, You Know You Want Me, Boy?
No. There's a couple
of
things.
That Adam Cole song.
I feel... You know you want me, boy, but you can't have me, boy, because I look too good for you, boy. But you get in line, boy, and you can take a number, boy, because I got a pussy deli, boy, and you can't have none, boy, because I'm too high for you, boy. You wish you had some, boy.
I think we're going to have to strip you of your best podcaster Grammy for that performance.
Well, that's what every fucking third song is. I don't sit around and listen to Pink songs, but I think she has good pipes. I think she's a good live performer. I appreciate anyone who can bring it live. Whatever the style of music, if you can bring it live, I appreciate it. My hat's off to you. I respect that, even if it's not my genre of music. And so she has pipes. She brings it in the live performances. And I think her songs are funner than your average, just sort of you Katy Perry-esque stuff. I feel like they have some teeth to them.
Are they
something
funner than Fun? Because she is performing with the lead singer of Fun.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that's part of her performance. Her performance is
I'd like
be
to
something.
Sit around with her and lead singer Fun and watch reruns of Good Times and try to explain that to people in a Who's on First kind of way.
Yes.
So it's going to be a big night.
Yeah. For rock and roll fans, just announced today, which I'm really excited about because I was there for the meeting where we're going through this. We have Nine Inch Nails, Queens of the Stone Age, with Lindsey Buckingham and Dave Grohl. That's one whole segment together.
Wow.
That's going to really be on you. It's going to be the last thing of the night. We're going to go out rocking. It's really,
good.
Really cool.
Never liked Nine Inch Nails, but then I never got the whole Trent Reznor thing. I always just felt like that was just – I always felt like that music was grinding and just sort of –
I
don't know anyone who liked
–
all right.
On Sunday night.
Is Trent Reznor good? I know he did some soundtrack stuff that was kind of interesting.
People I know who have good taste in music worship him, so I therefore think – I assume he's good, but I never enjoyed –
The social networking.
I've seen – yes.
I liked Nine Inch Nails.
I've seen him in concert before just because it was more of a sort of a job-related thing, and it just was this sort of pulsating thing that just like kept coming at you, which was –
Good fuck music.
Good fuck music. Good if you're rolling on X music. Bad if you got to go to work early the next morning on Kevin and Bean and
do a full report.
Can I use that for the name of my podcast when I spin off? The
Please.
Good Fuck Music?
The Good Fuck Music. Tell me where you guys come down on this. On the set today, working on this contractor show. And somebody went and got that big Starbucks cardboard bucket of coffee, that just a huge box of coffee. And it comes with the lid, and the lids and the stir sticks and everything in saddlebags on the side. But I'm never sure whether to remove them before I pour it. And I always just pick up the whole lot and pour it. It's like sort of like, it'd be like taking a saddle off with everything attached to it at once instead of taking the saddlebags off and then removing the saddle. I just kind of lift the whole thing and the pony and just sort of tilt it, you know, which I'm fine with. No problems there. Somewhere around 10 in the morning, since that thing has been sitting out since 6:30, maybe 6:45, somewhere around 10, you go, huh, I'm losing my energy, so I want another cup of coffee. And you go in there, and it's usually cold. There's a little spittle at the bottom. It's cold. It's been sitting for 4 hours, and that's fine. So at some point, somebody makes a run. So about 2 in the afternoon on the sets, everyone makes a coffee run.
Do they refill that thing, or do
no.
they get new coffees?
No, they just go get another box of it. And it's one of those bang for your buck things. They always send some PA around 2:30, 3 o'clock, go make a coffee run, because they realize this is essentially a drug. You're going to get another good 3.5-4 hours out of all the cameramen, all the people here that are starting to fade because they've been here since 6:15 this morning. And they went and got it. And I walked up on the bucket, and that screw cap was sitting next to it. Somebody helped themselves and then put the screw cap next to it. And I said, I want names. I want answers. Who fucking did this? Because the problem with the first batch is it's gone cold. And whoever is doing this, you basically, that's the chimney for the thing. You cap that bad boy. You get an extra couple hours of warmth out of there. You leave it open. It's cool outside. It's going fast.
Who would do such a thing?
Not egregious. An animal that had gotten what they needed from this transaction, meaning I unscrew the cap, I pour it in my cup, I'm done pouring it in my cup, and now I'm done. There are others around. They do not exist to me. There are a lot of people, I'm obsessed with them and I hate them all, same ones who throw their gum out in the parking lot. There's gradations of this. They you know, some stab you in the neck with rusty rebar to take $5 from you, and then others, the distant relatives, leave the cap off the Starbucks bucket. But what I'm saying is it all boils down to, I am done with this gum. I backed into a car, but it was not my car. I found this wallet, but I did not lose my wallet,
it's literally the cap. Drip, drip, drip of anarchy.
Yes, it is. It is. I am done with this, and I could put the cap back on, but there's nothing in it for me to put the cap back on because I have a big cup of warm coffee and I'm now walking away. I don't think it's intentional.
I wish that much thought went into it.
It's a switch that goes off in their mind when they're done. You know, no, it's not. There's no thought that goes into it. The thought is, I want these chocolate chip cookies, so I'm going to open this big jumbo pouch that has been sealed shut. I'm going to grab said chocolate chip cookies. Once they're in my hand, I'm now done. I've completed the transaction.
Like a shark with the eyes rolling back into its head. It's like,
right.
I have cookies on the brain.
And then once you're satiated, you're done. I'm happy to say, and I don't throw the word hero around lightly. And I don't use hero when I talk about myself.
Wrongly, in my opinion.
But the sound guy left his commuter mug at my warehouse when we shot there a week ago. And the other day, he mentioned to me, he said, I left my commuter mug at your warehouse. You think you could bring it to me? And I said, yeah, but we're not going to see each other for another week because we weren't going to tape for a week. And he said, yeah, if it's a pretty good commuter mug. And my first impulse was, I want to make fun of him, because if you're going to hang your hat on a commuter mug in life at age 42, you shouldn't be that married to your commuter mug. I understand some are better than others. Then he spoke about his wife and the commuter mug, and I said, "This is going off a cliff, buddy. Don't talk anymore." And then I gave it back to him, and he commented today. He said, "I noticed you cleaned it before you gave it back." I said, "Wow. That's how I roll."
And still, you don't call yourself hero?
I don't.
I say hero squared.
Did you? Was it a particularly special commuter mug, from your standpoint?
It was nice. No, I'd give it a 6.5 to the 8 range. It was made of metal. It didn't have his initials emblazoned in it. It was not, you know, it was not made by Tiffany or anything like that. It didn't come in that blue box. It's just a decent-looking commuter mug. I suppose you'd have to probably fill up with at least 14 gallons of diesel fuel to get this kind of mug for free at a gas station.
They won't just give anybody.
Yeah, they won't just give it to anybody. If that's you don't just come in there and buy some Lifesavers and head out with this kind of commuter mug. You'd have to do that. It, somewhere in the, I would say, I would put it somewhere squarely in the $8.75 to $13 range.
Oh, I was going 12 to 16.
Yeah, that range.
I
in
got Christy a new commuter mug for Christmas. She wanted it, by the way. She asked for it. And there is a complicated algorithm to finding just the right mug. Number one, has to fit in the coffee maker. Too tall? You're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Has to fit in the cup holder in the car. Too big? You're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a handle guy or are you a grip the thing guy? Do you like to slide the little notch open? You want to notch it all? You want to just sip or do you want a notch that comes off? You want a screw top or do you want a pop top? You have to think about these things.
Yeah, sometimes it takes years to squeeze a trigger on a good commuter mug. I will say this too, in the super snarky, semi-douchey, and again, I don't often call myself a hero, but now... I take the guy's commuter mug because I realize he told me, and I'm not going to see him for another week. And if I do that move where I let it sit in my shop, I'm going to forget about it. So I took it and I rinsed it out and I threw it in my car. Lickety split, because that's the way to do things. Otherwise, you'll forget about it. It's the Dr. Drew with the flu vaccination in my refrigerator with his car keys sitting on top of it. They needed to be refrigerated. He did not want to forget them, so he put his car keys on top of them. So I now have this commuter mug, and it's rolling around my passenger seat for what's going to be a week. So now it's gut check time in the commuter mug department. And if you...
Time to take a long look in the reflective surface of the commuter mug.
That's right. It will distort your face if it's brushed aluminum. So I think to myself, do I bring the commuter mug inside of my house, in which case it can easily get bust and put away somewhere out of sight, out of mind, or do I let it roll around in my car for a week? Which I don't like either, especially when you're throwing passengers in. You got to throw it down on the floor, toss it in the back, and then what if it slides under the seat? Then it's out of mine again. So I say to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring it into the house, but I'm going to set it at the entryway, right by the front door. I'll put my keys on it, and I'll find it in a week, and there it'll be. And then I noticed it was gone. And I noticed, and I knew immediately, Olga bust it. And I said to Olga, she said, "Yeah, you left your commuter mug." And I said, "Olga, I would never walk through this front door and set my thing down. It always goes straight to
the
sink."
Did she say commuter mug?
I don't know what it sounded like. Yeah, she said metallic chalice. She's very proper that way. And I informed her that I would never come in there and set that thing down. It would always find its way to the sink. So if you do see anything sitting by the front door and it's got my name on it, it's there for a reason. It's going out the door. Little rhythms like that. Anyway, again, hero probably left more for the guys that stormed the beach at Normandy or over there in the desert, you know, in the desert of Afghanistan or in the mountains up there. Yeah. That's for them. But
every once in a while. Yeah.
Every once in a while.
But this, I mean, if only this guy knew the kind of burden he had given you by asking you, by putting the cup in your charge for this whole week. There's a lot of thought went into it.
He did, and we had a nice conversation about what a hero I was during the break for rinsing it out, and I told him I got one mode, and that's it, beast mode, beast commuter mug mode. It's
Too soon.
I just, sorry.
It brings to mind that famous image, the AP image of all the commuter mugs on Normandy Beach the next day.
Pushing the flag up top of Mount Sarabachi.
Exactly.
So let me give a little love to one of our fine sponsors, and we'll get to a little Grammy talk. DraftKings, baby. Fantasy sports. Oh, they're heating up, I'd say. Getting down to the Super Bowl, man. DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-day fantasy sports. A few weeks ago, James Tran won himself $1 million at DraftKings.com. Unfortunately, he's from California, so he can only walk with $87,000. That's all he's going to keep from that.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it's rough. What are you doing, Brian? Who's your team? What's going on?
Last week, I had a decent week. I finished out of the money, but just barely. And, you know, it's like, oh, man, no more football. But wait, basketball.
That's
pro
right.
And college. I can play either one.
Yeah, DraftKings, not all about the football. It's all about the sports. One day fantasy sports means you got a shot to win every day. 100. Ah, I'm going to double that. 200 million DraftKings. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I screwed that one up. DraftKings, where was I? Yeah, they're going to award $200 million this year. That is a lot. Dawson.
DraftKings is letting our listeners play for free to win real cash. Enter Adam at DraftKings.com for a quick free shot at your share of that $200 million pot. Hurry, this amazing offer expires this Friday. For details and your free entry, enter Adam now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com.
All right, we have some phone calls up there. David Wild, again, Sunday. Is the Grammys.
Sunday, CBS, 8 o'clock till almost midnight.
Are you hanging backstage and punching things up as they go? And
yes. Now, I'll tell you, it's a unique year. I'm always backstage doing that. But the interesting this year is the next morning, we start at 9 a.m. rehearsing another giant show, the Beatles, Grammy Beatles tribute. So we're doing a show. I don't know what people who go to the parties are going to do because we have two shows back to back. So I'll be backstage at both, and I'll tweet photos at Wild about music, and I can call you from backstage and put some people on the phone.
That would be hunky dory with us. Oops, I hit the wrong one. Oops, hit the wrong one again. Sorry. All right, line five, Brian, 33, Boston. Oh boy, is that working out? Line five, Brian, 33. Is that working? At some point, Chris Maxpata hits some button on the board, and it works. Yeah, what's going on?
What's up, man?
What's happening?
How you doing, man? Up in Boston, laying here. My wife's in labor, so I'm just writing down the contractions, counting it out.
Mm. I feel like there was a ton of pregnancy humor in sitcoms, and they're all gone now.
All panic-based.
Nobody's new girl never gets pregnant. Mm. And there were like seven jokes, and every sitcom would just use them over and over again. They just recycle them from Brady
Guy
Bunch.
Runs out of the house with the suitcase, forgets the wife.
Well, everything was, we're going to rehearse, we're going to rehearse, we're going to rehearse. And we're going to pack the bag, and we're going to run. And yes, and finally, when it did go down, the guy would grab the bag, run out the door, speed down the highway.
There's time.
The cop would pull him over. And he'd be like, hey, Mac, where's the fire? And then he'd turn around and go, my wife's pregnant. And there'd be no one in the back seat. And then she was always 10 times as calm as he was.
Because he left her at home.
Because the doctor would say, how are you feeling? And he'd be like, I've been better.
Right. And then at a certain point, they'd come back and they'd be talking to some friends. And they'd go, how did it go? Well, it was good till Bob passed out. And then, you know, I think guys being heels back then were sort of – by the way, when is the husband being the heel officially going to be fucked out in terms of that's a hackneyed joke?
You got to wait a while.
We got to wait a while?
Yeah. It's going to be a while.
What's going to go away faster, black female judges or guys being hacked?
There's way too many of them.
In the movies, in the television show.
The black female judge thing feels newer, so that's going away first.
Okay.
Adam, I think you're missing a stage. I think that women now, that our wives' generation, are imitating sitcoms from the 80s. I don't think women could get away with saying that shit. It was on TV in the old days. It was like a fantasy to put down the husband. But now it's a way of life.
Right.
I think we're now seeing the damage done by those sitcoms in the 70s and 80s.
By Claire Huxtable.
Yes.
It is weird that every guy's that, you know, he's like, I don't get it. Why can't I eat pizza with Captain Crunch berries on it for breakfast? Like, what's the big deal? And it, they're always I watch these Disney shows, these like live action whatever with my daughter, and the guy's a buffoon. The guy's always just a buffoon. It's
the
just,
funny thing is it's men writing it. I mean, I'm not exclusively, but it's not like this is. I get what you're saying about it being a female fantasy, but it's not only women who wrote
it's
this.
Just, it's just inner. It's right. It's safe international waters. Like, it just, you know, he's just a dude. Just go after the dude. Like, no one's ever going to write a letter. No one's going to complain. There's no coalition. There's no anything. I'm just saying, creatively, when does it become fucked out?
We're there.
I think we've been there for a while.
When I first started doing the Jack Silver thing back on the radio show, you were like, eh, it works. Everyone loves to make fun of the boss, and everyone does love to make fun of the boss, whether you're working in an office or a radio station or whatever. And I guess you need a butt of the joke, and it's easy to make fun of the boss, usually.
But,
you know, the
patriarch
figure.
That's the comical thing is the guy's nowhere near the boss at home at all. Oh. He is not the boss of the house at all. In any of the sitcoms, he's, you know, yes, dear, and in the doghouse. Mm. All right. Anyway, Brian.
All right.
Yeah. So it's pregnant. Labor. That's right. What's, huh? But, what are you going to name the kid?
We got a couple names. We haven't told anybody yet. You want to be the first one?
Nah.
I mean, I don't know if it's a car girl yet. Yeah, we're going to save him. But, so my question
is. Well, wait a minute. Is a boy or girl?
We don't know yet. We don't know. We're going to probably find out next.
Let me ask something.
Hours,
I want to know something. First off, why do you want to be surprised? Secondly, isn't it going to be a surprise when you do find out at any point when you find out? Like, it's always a surprise, right? It's not like you're in high school and someone goes, you got a boy. And you're like, huh? I haven't even been laid. Like, it's always going to, it'll be a surprise in the doctor's office or be a surprise when the kid comes out.
Let the surprise be if you love the kid or are underwhelmed.
Yeah, I just
I would want to know.
Yeah, my wife doesn't understand people who don't want to know. It pisses her off.
I'm with her on that. Hey, Brian. How do you pick a name out if you don't know?
You have two.
You're going with one on each side, I think.
But then, I don't know. It seems wildly inefficient and takes a bunch of time. I don't know. Anyway, you got to decorate. You know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, why do you not? Why did you guys not want to know, Brian?
I mean, I think it's like I think finding out in the doctor's office is kind of anticlimactic. Like, I think it's probably a better moment in life if you find out like as it's being born.
I know, but are you having a kid to be entertained, or are you raising a human being? I mean, how exciting does it have to be for you as a parent?
Right. It's like the good
we had a kid;
bag.
It was kind of boring. Yeah. Kind of the way I feel about American Hustle. Like, it's good. I mean, I'd recommend having a kid, but
I think I know the name.
The whole thing.
I think the
people
name
say great things.
I think the name is either going to be Bald Brian if it's a boy or Bald Brianna if it's a girl.
I like Clutch. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. So do you work, Brian?
Yeah, I work up in Boston. I come from a small town in Western Mass. I've been in Boston for about 10 years, and I guess my question to you is. I'm the most successful person in my family by far. They're all townies from Western Mass, pretty simple. And, you know, everybody's kind of, you know, just doing little jobs. My brother's a valet parker. My other brother does, like, little construction work and stuff. And
Brian,
and
is this from your Thanksgiving toast?
The reunion, actually. It's the summer reunion.
But they're still, like, they don't have any drive in mind.
Yeah.
And I got out of the town. Is this something that you think is, like, controllable, like, when you have a kid, like, or just what it is? Like, I try with my younger brother so hard to...
First off, it is insane how many people I speak to where they go... I just start asking about their family, and they go, I have a sister, but she's not a junkie, but she's on methadone, so she's stabilized now, and then... It's real complicated because she has three kids from two dudes and they're in Florida. And it's like, I'm surprised. Like, it's not that unique. The, you know, brother that's on disability and then he got strung out on pain pills. Like, some really shitty stories with sort of normal people. It's not like I'm sitting in a drunk tank interviewing people. I'm working and talking. And, yeah, you hear some good ones. But you hear a lot of, like... And everything from, well, I had a brother, but he OD'd when he was 26, to I got a brother, and he's like kind of in and out of trouble a lot, and he's been arrested a few times. Like, it's weird what percentage of this country has spent some time in jail, been arrested multiple times, been strung out on something, is on probation, is unemployed. It's kind of, it's weird and fucked up, because I would think it'd just be like, oh, you know, I'm going to talk to 100 guys and maybe one or two of them's going to have a story about his younger brother, or older brother, or sister, whatever, with some sort of tragic whatever.
2% don't know.
That's right, according to USA
Slash
Today.
No opinion.
Yeah. So many people are fucking colossal fuck-ups.
It's true.
And not only that, it's kind of like, stay the course, man. I mean, these guys are like, he has a son, and his son's 19, but his son recently got locked up. Like, it's like, the fuck are you doing? How does this work? Where's all the voices? And I do think there's way too much, hey, man, let your freak flag fly, and don't let anyone ever tell you what to, and no one's the boss of bullshit. People need to be telling people what the fuck do all the time.
There will be a boss of you, probably several of the course
of
your life.
Right. There will be. And why not tell fuck? I mean, isn't the greatest gift you could give a fuck up to tell him that he's a fuck up and try to get him to quit fucking up? Why do we frown so much upon that?
Well, that's the problem with this, you know, just be yourself and don't listen to anyone and let your freak flag fly. It's fine if that means listening to obscure music or having pink hair or doing whatever. But when that means being self-destructive and a total fuck up, that's not really just being yourself.
Right. And guys like Brian can change their destiny. I have done it. I don't call myself a hero. Sometimes earlier in the day. Yes. Yes. Coincidentally, today I did label myself a hero for not only the commuter mug battle, but also putting, you know, the screw cap back on the cardboard bucket of Starbucks coffee. Those two combined. Alone.
Rarely outside of a coffee-related scenario you call yourself a hero.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I was awarded the Mrs. Olson Medal of Honor. I mean, of course, she's gone. You have to look up Mrs. Olson, and then you all laugh.
Is that from Little House?
No. Well, it is, but Mrs. Olson, we'll look her up. Well, look, Hills Brothers? Oh, Jesus. Oh, we'll figure her out, then we'll have a nice laugh. Brian?
Yeah.
What you can do and what everyone can do is to beat themselves up and internalize and try to get better and ask themselves why they did this and promise it'll never happen again. Never let the phrase, I did my best, never let that pass your lips. Never blame others. Always look for every situation, no matter how possibly lopsided it could be, look for your little kernel of fault in it. Try to figure out, not to beat yourself up, but to prevent it next time. So if your car just gets hit in the parking lot, well, maybe next time park it by a parking post, not in the middle. Or whatever, as I've said, if you go to a store and you go there on a Tuesday and it's at noon and it's closed, don't hawk a loogie on the window and piss through the mail slot. Say to yourself, next time I'm going to call in advance. And then someone could go, well, that's insane. What kind of store wouldn't be open? And I go, the answer is, I don't know. Next time, call in advance.
Yeah, it's just, is there anything I can learn from this experience? Mm-hmm. And if what you're learning is the whole world is unfair, try harder to learn a different thing.
Well, this is the whole thing that pisses me off about many branches of our society these days. When you turn anybody into a victim and you say, ah, they got it against you, or someone, they're fucking with you, or they're holding you down, or you're never going to be able to, then you're fucked. If you walk around believing this is not going to happen, it can't happen, and the reason it can't happen is because someone else in power is not going to let it happen, you just fucking eat a bullet. And I don't mean shoot yourself. I mean eat bullets until you die.
Yeah.
Because eventually you would. Brian?
Yeah.
Whatever you do, do it the best you can. What are you doing right now?
I'm looking at my wife on the phone with her doctor.
You look at her the best you can.
It's time to get to the hospital. So.
Okay. Well,
we're heading in, but
appreciate all your advice, Ace Man. And I just hope that it's, your kids have learned behaviors and they're not just.
Oh, your kids will be fine. Your kids will be fine.
Can I suggest one name for Brian? Why don't you name him after your hero, Adam Carolla? Name him Hero.
Hero. That's right. Your hero, Adam Carolla. Thank you.
If I were in labor and my husband were on the phone with Adam Carolla, I don't know how I would feel about that.
Well, if I were going to name my kid Hero,
I just want to talk to the Ace Man.
I would do the Hero with the G. And
well, like Hero, like
yeah,
the Greek word?
Right. And that way everyone would have to call me a hero, but I wouldn't seem like a sack of shit.
Like
no,
little lamb,
seem like unassuming,
hero?
Like a sandwich.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like if you did the hero, like the Giro, you then you'd have to go, and you could say it, like you go, well, it's pronounced hero, and then no one would think you were a douchebag.
And if you had a girl, you could name her Feta, so it'd be
cheese?
Here's a photo of Hero with Feta.
let's see, she's an A cup. You call her flatbread, Joshua.
Hey,
hey, man.
Man, oh my
28
God.
From Visalia. What's going on?
That's me, 28. Bought a house 2 years ago.
Winner.
Yeah. He can suck my ace on my roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It's my buddy Ray. He doesn't have a house.
I got to say hi to Allison. Allison, I love you. You're my best friend.
Thank
you. And don't worry about your wedding. Do not worry about your wedding, girlfriend. It's going to be the best party you've ever thrown, and you're going to love it.
Thanks, girlfriend.
And,
so positive.
Yeah, and Bald, I love you. I'm glad you're still kicking and kicking ass and dropping drops. And Dawson, you're sexy, and I love your voice. Anyway.
Who? Thanks, Joshua.
Puss and lips. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm having a baby in April on April 3rd.
Wow, looking straight. That's the sitcom.
No, it arrived from China.
Ah,
pretty good at making babies.
Imported. So when the kid passes customs, you're no problemo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we only tried for two cycles and got pregnant in Hawaii, and it was I'm nervous. I'm scared shitless. I know twins are way harder than a single child, but. That wasn't my original question.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I swear to you, it's temperament, as we talked about all the time. I brought Sonny into the shop the other day. I don't think I said this, but we were all sitting. Oh, my God. We were sitting in the back having a spirited conversation, trying to figure some stuff out. And Sonny was just standing next to us and he was bouncing his basketball. And it was quite loud and annoying when we were trying to, I was trying to have the Porcelain Punisher send out an email, and he kept bouncing his ball. So I said, Sonny, could you please stop bouncing the ball? And he just held it, because that's how he is. Natalia would bounce it five more times, and eventually Lynette would scream, stop it, you know, and it drives everyone insane. But he'd just stop it. And then he said, I'd like to bounce my ball, but I can't do it in here. Can I go bounce my ball outside? And then he said, yeah, you can go stand in the parking lot and bounce your ball. And they said, okay. And he went in the parking lot. And I don't know, 20, 25 minutes later, Gary Haftard said, you think Sonny's still in the parking lot? And I thought, he's a good kid, but maybe I don't hear any ball bouncing.
Natalia would be gone.
Oh,
no. Cuts the ball bouncing slowly across the street.
Yeah, slow motion and the swing going.
Oh, no.
With nobody in it. And I went, oh, yeah, he's out there. And I sort of jogged out to the front door, and I opened the front door, gone. No. Sonny, no ball bouncing. And then I was like, holy shit. My first impulse is not, oh, my God, my son. It's, oh, my God, Lynette. She's going to kick shit out of
you.
Me. She'll fucking kill me. And then sons are replaceable. And I went, oh, fuck, where did he go? And I started to hustle out, and he was sitting in the back of my car playing a video game on his tablet. Just opened the door, got in, shut it, and was monkeying around with his, Angry Birds, quietly, not bugging, He doesn't say, I'm hungry, can we eat? You just go, do you want to eat? Okay. And that's it. Wherever you say you want to eat, whatever it is, it's so if you have one of him or two of him, it's not like raising a kid. It really isn't. every morning on a Sunday, he may get up at 6 a.m. He'll turn on Phineas and Ferb. He'll sit there and watch it, and he'll play with his Legos. And at any point I come out of my room, he'll say, "Hello, Father," and that'll be that. And if I go, "We're going to the warehouse today," he'll go, "Okay," and that'll be that.
Okay,
no problemo.
So the kissing on the lips thing is cute, and I love it. But what age does it stop?
I don't know, because he's very affectionate that way. I do that. I come from a family that it's very stilted. It's very weird. And I realize that is something that needs to be practiced early and often. Because
kissing,
hugging, physical affection. My family is fucked up and weird. And if they hug you, it feels like you stood there and somebody took an ironing board and just leaned it against you. And then you get the weird pat on the back with the palm that's almost inverted, like where the fingers go back further than the actual palm does. And you get that thump, thump, thump on your back. And there's always that weird thing when they're leaving, like, see you, Mom. I realized it's the weirdest, and I remember as a kid having like friends of like my grandparents or something. There would always be the one, you know, Judy Brooks, the gregarious Jewish lady, would always, "Oh, come here, Adam." You know, it was always, and I was 9. I was like terrified that she was going to hug me or kiss me or something. It felt
so. Just because she was Jewish?
Yeah, I didn't want to get any Jews, you know, on me.
I understand.
I didn't know at the time I could shower it
again,
off.
Hero.
Now I know. Just
anti-Semitic.
Just
hero.
A little denatured alcohol and a loofah and a Jew come right off. Back then, you think it's forever.
It's a Jew.
A Jew. Gesundheit. It's funny, the Gesundheit took care of those Jews, didn't they? The point is this.
Soon.
Okay. It was so uncomfortable and so weird and so fucked up, and now I look back on it, it's like, oh yeah, my weirdo family that couldn't express any kind of affection. They weren't stern people. They were fucked up people. There's a difference between getting back to it, but the dad and the Sound of Music, or I don't know, the great Santini or something like that, that's different. That wasn't my family. My family was withdrawn, fucked up, and just a kind of sort of inner withdrawn mess. And so any form of affection or praise or anything like that felt very weird and uncomfortable. And then once that's not set up early, it's just fucking weird after that. And it's hard to get it out of you. So I'm trying to go over the top with it with my son. And the kissing on the lips part, I don't know when that's going to go away.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
I don't think it has to.
All right, but when should I stop with the tongue? All right. Where am I talking about here? Education match. That's what I want to talk about. You want to get yourself up? You want to get yourself out? You want to dust yourself off? You want to make 2014 a great year? You start. I don't know if you guys know this. People with a college degree earn $1 million more over the course of their lives than people who don't. And I think it comes in one lump.
Wow.
I think. I'm not sure. I got to look into it. I think it comes on like your 62nd birthday and you just get a suitcase.
It's worth the wait.
And it's in nickels.
Wait,
yeah, it's going to be awesome. Oh, no, not for, oh, wait a minute. Shit. For you guys, expect that
payday. We'll tell
you
about it.
Any day now.
When we're 62.
Call Education Match today, 855-507-0607. Opportunities tailored for your lifestyle and needs, including online and traditional campus programs, certificates, diplomas, associates, bachelor's, master's, even doctoral degrees. All there. Call Education Match toll free. Give them a call, 855-507-0607. You can speak to a dedicated representative and find the right option for you. Let's face it, you got to get educated, you got to compete, you got to make money, and you got to be able to support your family so that later on, when we make sitcoms about you, we can portray you as a lazy buffoon. 855-507-0607. All right. Let's see. One
can
more
call.
Can I
ask Allison a question before the call?
Yes.
You know, this is a fan question from me for Allison.
No,
what age were you when you learned that your family was, in fact, Jewish in some way?
22.
So did you ever, there's a lot of self-hating Jews in a different way, but did you ever have, do you remember having an anti-Semitic thought before you knew that you were Jewish?
Poignant.
I really was really upset when people thought I was Jewish and insisted I was Jewish. And in retrospect, that is somewhat anti-Semitic. And I did grow up with this idea that
Thanks, Dave.
Jews can be so
appreciate it
with
fucking
honestly
Jews.
To a degree probably.
Now it is true. It's the ultimate anti-Semitic thought. Because I am half Italian, but ever since I got into comedy, I seem very Jewish. And I correct people. But I guess you would correct people if you were Cuban and someone said you're Mexican.
Well, to me, it felt like they were telling me I was a liar, which I was, but I did not realize I was lying. That's the thing. So, I mean, it bothered me that people couldn't just listen, had to tell me how I was not telling
right.
the truth.
But what is the cool, what is a cool, see, Italian, I'm half Italian, not full Italian, but I think Italian is a cool nationality. I'm trying to think of the cool nationalities.
It's really just a Jew with lower SATs.
Yeah, I know. No, it's a better schnoz and lower test scores. I've always said it.
Right.
Everything else is kind of
the same.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think of who's got the, you know, there's weird ones that like if you're Hungarian, people are like, oh, that's interesting. Like they're ones that are kind of pushes.
I
where
think
you can't
having
tell.
Native American.
Little of that in it.
People like to claim that.
I feel like that was riding pretty high with Cher and Billy Jack in the 70s, but maybe some of the bloom is off that rose.
You don't hear it that much anymore.
It's funny. People used to claim a lot of it. Like a lot of celebrities would be 1/18th and 1/16th and one whatever. Not so much. They're not clinging to that one so mm-hmm. much anymore. Hispanic, at least if you're here from California, is a little boring. Feels a little like been there and done that.
If you want to get into news, though, it's good.
French has a little baggage attached to it.
Definitely.
German is
Louis,
one of those.
Louis Vuitton
German
baggage.
Also has some baggage.
It has baggage, but it also has some, all right, that guy's good at something, kind of vibe to it. You know what I mean? Like when the guy says, like my brother-in-law, he's a German architect. You know, and you go, that guy's a good architect.
Our handyman, Frank, always says, find German handiwork. That's every time.
Oh.
It's everything he does.
You pay $175 an hour. But, I mean, yeah, those guys have, if they're from that world.
They're organized.
They have an entire system of journeymen and apprenticeships and stuff like that. It's not like, you know, me who just started digging on a job site and kind of watched other guys that were drunk and stoned and figured things out. These guys are, like, sort of technically trained. I mean, it's pretty simple. If somebody said, look, you want to get on that airplane, and that airplane was made by Germans or Mexicans or Argentinians or whatever it is, Russians, you'd have some thoughts. But you'd pause for a second, right? Like, the Italian plane would look really cool, but I'm not sure if I'd probably get on the German plane, which wouldn't look quite as cool, but would probably work a little bit better. Just, that's where
have
all
you
the
ever
preconceived notions.
Have you ever stepped on an airplane and go, I do not want to be on this plane? I stepped on Royal Air Maroc and was like, there's goats.
Hook knows and Jew.
that was not a good choice. I did not like Royal Air Maroc.
Can I add one thing to your question? I grew up with this idea that there's this thing in Jews, and at the time I did not realize that we were, where they feel the need to self-identify even if it will put them in harm's way. Like, even if it's not safe to be Jewish, Jewish people feel the need to say, I'm a Jew. And
I do
then,
it here all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, there's some truth to that, although I don't think it's unsafe anymore. So I think that the message
in show business, do you know what risk I take mentioning in show business?
The message of that, though, was there's something negative about people who won't just blend in and assimilate. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's what my parents were without really saying it. So, yeah, it's a real fucked up situation.
What's the porcelain Punisher over there? She got any of that in him?
Fat.
He's got some.
He does have some of that, doesn't he?
Well, he's, you know, as I am mistaken for a Jew.
But look, isn't he like half that?
Well, people do. His dad's an attorney, so the people do.
Strike one.
People no. Look, let's face it. People do some profiling, and it's, you know, most of it is based on something. If your dad was Winston Cup champion Chet Fondelier. I don't think people would go, are you Jewish? But no, we would. That would seem weird, right? Well, it'd be weird, right? But if you go, my dad's an attorney, you go, oh, is he? So what do you got in you?
Jewish, both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now get back to spinning that dreidel, kid. All right. let's take real fast up top. Hey, Mike, Chicago.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, guys?
Good. Question.
Yeah, so I my little my New Year's resolution was to try and shame people a little more, kind of like you do, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if you have any tips on effective shaming. You know, what I mean is that, you know, you can sit there and maybe shame people and you get a nice fuck you, you know.
Being a millionaire and have a podcast is pretty effective.
Mm-hmm.
For 25 from Chicago, it could make an antisocial dick.
I realize, like, the kind, you know, I'm working on a TV show right now for the first time in a long time, and I say a lot of shitty things to people that are paying me. And I don't think they would take that from other people. But as I look back on it, if I was lower down on the totem pole, I'd probably get shit canned 1,000 times from every job I have. But they sort of have to be.
They probably wish they could.
I'm sure they do. They kind of have to be nice to me, or at least tolerant of me. I think there's a way to sort of have the truth. The plan is not to shame people, because shaming people does not get you the results that you want. If you look at people sort of like dogs.
So far, so good.
And I want you guys to know I don't look at you as small dogs, if that's any consolation.
Well, I don't know how to take that, actually.
Well, I don't like small dogs.
I know,
like,
but
big dogs.
You calling us big dogs?
Well, I like a meat. I like a lab.
Okay.
You know what I mean.
All right.
I like to give it a little belly rub. That's all. So, if you look at people like dogs and you go, I want them to do what I would like them to do for them and for me. But what I don't want to do is freak them out, scare them, make, you know, like, you don't want to start screaming at your dog and hitting it with a slipper, because your dog's just going to start pissing
cowering
right then and there on the spot. And if your dog is freaked out, you're not going to be able to potty train your dog. So what
you want to motivate your dog.
You want to motivate your dog. And so if you intimidate people or you shame people, they don't, you won't get the positive outcome that you'll probably want.
Offer them treats.
Yes.
Well, I have a good example if you got time.
I don't, but make it fast.
Okay. The apartment building I live in is really old. It's a hotel building. And they have a trash chute on each floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it has its own little room and everything. So you pull the trash chute, put the trash in. And my apartment, you know, mates or whatever you want to say, is they're leaving their trash in this little room instead of taking the extra 4 seconds to put the trash in the chute. So
right.
It makes the hallway smell like shit. There's flies everywhere.
Right.
You know, kind of like, you know, what the heck.
Right.
So,
right. No, I understand. And then you have to start leaving those notes to whoever is peeing on the toilet seat. Please have the decency for other people. It's so sad that you have to write those kinds of notes. But yeah, taking the trash to the trash room and then setting it there and going back in is really, it's not quite leaving the cap off the Starbucks cask, but it is
it's up there.
Now, this person would say, I guarantee you, when you open the chute, it smells nauseating, so screw it, right?
Which it always does.
Which, of
big
course
blast of it, nauseating
it does
you,
but someone else is gonna have to hold it open for another 5 seconds to get your shit down there. Now, why should they be extra nauseated? But Mike, what did you do to remedy this?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out, because I know if I leave a note, all I'm going to get is kind of like a, you know, F you or go to hell written on my note. And then
I think there's a way to just says to whoever's doing this, could you please be more considerate of those who live in the building with you and toss it in and see what happens. It's a little sort of a shame, but pointed toward them, but without the slap in the face and the attack. I'm telling you, we're talking the other night.
Or tattle to the apartment manager.
Yeah, or just do that move where you hang out on the ceiling like Tom Cruise with a fucking gill net and come down on top of them. I've said it once, but I'll say it again. We're talking yesterday about the amazing number of sort of non-shitty tweets that I get from people that listen to the show. But as I've said, the handful of ones where it's like, oh, fuck you, Carolla, you suck, you're not funny anymore, let the guests talk and blah, 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 and shut up and let that Dr. Drew answer the question, but whatever it is. And that end with, I used to be a fan, I'm no longer a fan, seeing another life. I write back every time, sorry you feel that way, but thank you for the time you did listen. And they always come back and go, oh, I'm sorry, I was drunk. Or it's cool. Or I guess I'll hang out. If you write, fuck you, die, then they come back with one more that goes see you in hell, and then you're done. If you write back, sorry you feel that way, but thank you for the time we did spend together, they always come back. Oh, it's been almost 100% that they come back and go, sorry, I was blowing off some steam.
Someone tried to pit us against each other on Twitter this week, or I think it was Sunday or something, where they wrote, I'm either going to have to unfollow, they were at 100 followers.
Oh, I saw
Adam Carolla or me. I didn't think it was much of a competition.
Right.
But I think we both fought to keep their following.
That's right.
And I think they kept following us both.
That's right. Because you're all valuable to David Weil.
I'm trying to get to 30,000 by the Grammys, so I need every one of you.
Well, you can go to Wild About Music. You can also watch the Grammys Sunday, CBS, 8 p.m. See what happens. I want to see that salute to the Beatles. Tyler Labine.
I got one more show. Mm. And I got the Breakthrough Prizes with Kevin Spacey hosting on Science Channel the day after the Grammys at Airs.
Wow, la-di-da. Kevin Spacey. I don't see him pop. Would Kevin Spacey come on this podcast?
I'll ask him.
He seems like a super bright guy. Doesn't
He's
really,
hysterical. He's great.
But I don't feel like he does that much stuff, or I see him around. But when I do see him around, he never disappoints.
Well, for years he was running like the theater company in London and was always there when he wasn't acting here. But mm-hmm. I think he's not anymore. So mm-hmm. I'll ask him if he'll at least call in to promote the show.
He's got he's great comedically.
I think he's a fantastic. Super talented guy.
I wrote this open for him for the show you'll see on the Science Channel. And he literally said, I love these jokes. I'm just going to do them as Johnny Carson, and listed five other people. So he did exactly what I wrote, but did it in five different voices. Like yeah. Christopher Walken did everyone.
Again, super talent. All right. Tyler Labine, actor. Let's see. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Zach and Mary Make a Porn. And a bunch of other stuff. But also, I got hip to him because he's got a movie coming out. And I wanted to see the DP that was doing the movie. Did his movie. He's going to do my movie, Road Hard. So I watched it. I really enjoyed Tyler's work. So we invited him on. And we'll talk to him next.
Hi, everybody. This is Pat O'Brien. Either your grandfather, your father, or you grew up with me doing sports for the last 30 years, plus all the entertainment and pop culture things that I did, all those red carpets for you out there. Now, we're putting all that in a podcast, The Pat O'Brien Show. Go to iTunes and find it. Go to thepatobrienshow.com. We're here. We work for you on The Pat O'Brien Show. Thanks.
Time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. I had an idea about your making money to save podcasts problem. Why don't we minimize the amount? I don't know what the fuck this family's nervous on this shit. Peace out.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I think he just went Bruckheimer on our ass.
Walked off stage.
So fuck it.
That was me, actually. I called in earlier.
Tyler Labine. It is Labine, right?
It is Labine.
I'm screwing that up.
You're nailing it.
Couple things. Someone, Mary Berry, he's Barry. Very funny movie. I just watched it. The reason I watched it mainly was to look at Morton, the DP. DP's sort of underrated. Everyone talks about directors.
Director of photography.
Director of photography. Everybody... sort of, well, not people in the business, but people in reality. I'm sure Scorsese works with the same guy or someone who's a master.
Usually
that
a great
makes
director will have his guy or yeah. make a series of movies with the same guy.
Yeah. It's like a symbiotic relationship after a while, I think. They can't live without each other.
Yeah. This guy Morton's really good. So I watch, and I really love the movie, and I love Tyler in it. Tyler was great. And then
thank you.
Brian brought up another movie that Tyler was in as
yeah,
well.
It's not on the bio, but Tucker and Dale versus Evil. I'm sure you get this all the time. It's a fantastic movie. So, you know, the the slasher in the woods, cabin in the woods type of thing has been done since in movies since time immemorial, and it's finally, you know, run its course, and it's nice that people are, you know, giving a new spin, and it's hilarious and it's fun and it's a great movie. 80-something percent of Rotten Tomatoes. You were great. I love the movie.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a bit of a genre bender, you know. We had fun doing it.
And So and Mary Berry is in select theaters February 7th and then available on video on demand, iTunes, Amazon. You know what to do, man. Support the pirate ship. Click on through AdamCarolla.com, hit the Amazon banner, bookmark it, and help us pay the bills around here. And you can do that on February 13th. Also, Hulu original series, Deadbeat.
That's right.
And how does the Hulu original series work?
I have no idea.
Is it pitched like you think it's – like I'm trying to figure out, is Hulu and these other kind of places, are they eventually going to become the man? You know how no one starts off as the man and then eventually everyone becomes the man?
Like right now they're like, fuck the man. But
right.
In 10 years they're going to be like, we're the fucking man.
Right.
Yeah, that's sort of like I think how they're positioning themselves right now, especially Netflix. Like everyone's watched Netflix in the last like 3 years kind of become – like they won 8 Golden Globes and
sure
whatever, you know, like if you had told almost anybody in town 5 years ago, hey, we want you to do a Netflix show, they would have said shove it up your ass. There's no way.
And Blockbuster will be out of business and then Netflix is gonna have a bunch of original programming.
That was hard for
it's
everybody
a whole
I
new
think.
World
Blockbuster going under.
Well, listen, any place that doesn't distribute porn, I just can't ethically I can't stand by
they
that.
Did not.
I have a porn distributor in my living room. So it's called a computer.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
that
that's what
usually.
I'm saying. But you know how there's certain black entertainers wouldn't play Sun City in the '80s?
Sure.
That's was me with Blockbuster and porn.
You turned your back and they were dead to you.
That's right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you didn't care when they were going out of business left, right, and center. You were like, good.
Arrivederci.
Yeah, all right.
Sayonara. Or whatever it is.
That works, yeah.
Sayonara.
Yeah, I think Hulu, if I'm
don't let your own door hit you on the way out in the ass. That's right.
Hulu is basically in direct competition with Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
They're at a much smaller level, but they've been around for a little bit longer. But I think that's it. Everyone's now trying to do it. Like WGN is starting to do it now. Remember them? They're
right.
Like a local carrier in like
Chicago or something?
Was it Chicago?
Superstation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
they had
right.
a weird sound. I don't know why
did
that
they?
Went along. If we find the
was
WGN.
Was the sound of the Cubs losing?
Yes. It was a sound of quiet. It was a quiet saunter of a disappointed fan as it left the turnstile.
Deafening sound.
No, they WGN had like a weird, like remember those, you know, Viacom or whatever. Even, I don't know, Mary Tyler Moore had her own thing, MTM thing, stuff. They had their weird little sound.
Didn't they also at one point, their I remember their logo looked slightly like cowboyish.
Nah,
I feel like there was horseshoes in it at one point.
We'll find it.
We will.
Anyway, the Hulu series gonna be out. The movie gonna be out. Uh-huh. You can go to Tyler's website. Well, what's your background, Tyler? Where are you from?
I'm Canadian. Yeah, let the jokes begin if you must. But
well, you hide it.
We
well.
Like Canadians.
Oh, do I?
I think
thank
so.
You. Yeah, it's years and years of. Let me put it this way: when I was 13 and I worked on my first American production, I said oat. Once, not even oot. I said like, "Oh, let's go out," and they were like, "Oh, cut," and then like, and then continued to like ridicule this 13-year-old kid on set until I was basically scared shitless to never sound Canadian again. So that's how come I sound so.
How's house for you?
House is fine.
Oh, see,
wow,
I love the
sweet
house.
House.
I live in it.
Super un-Canadian sounding.
I know. My mom's American too. I almost said American. I wanted to go like way overboard.
Dr.
But,
Bruce style.
Yeah.
You
know,
so you started really young.
I started when I was 9 in Toronto. That's the only thing I can't not say like a Canadian Toronto.
How did you get into it?
I have two brothers. My little brother, my older brother and I, we were very enterprising young men with a Kyocera video camera. And my parents were just kind of shocked when we started auditioning kids in the neighborhood and like, you know, writing screenplays and auditioning my grandmother and shit like that. They're like, do you guys want to like make movies? And we were like, what do you mean? We are making movies. We do this, you know. And they're like, well, let's go downtown and get an agent and we'll talk to them. And we
wow.
know what an agent was. We had no idea.
I feel like our parents would have went, hey, knock it off.
Yeah.
Make movies somewhere else.
And how do you let your grandma down
they
easy if you
too.
Have to replace her on set? No, it's just not working out.
Did she walk
we,
in and see
we
a bunch
kill
of
her
grandma
off.
Types?
We kill her off. I mean, it's classic. It's Hollywood 101. We just kill her off.
So the brothers act as well?
Yeah, my younger brother is still active as an actor. He lives in Toronto. He owns a theater, like a black box theater, which he kind of took the – he thinks I'm a big fucking sellout. He took the more sort of grassroots approach and opened like a black box theater in Toronto.
And, is that like a 99-seat-er or something?
That's being generous. It's like a 42-seater in Toronto.
Here, I think the equity waiver stuff would be 100 or below, or so they have a lot of 99-seaters.
Yeah. Now you're talking about unions
and stuff. What are you
talking about? I don't know. All I know is every improv troupe I've ever been in was at a 99. Even if it was 39, it was 99. You couldn't go. I think once you got into 100, you had to start paying the actors.
Understood. Okay, so it's a 99er. It's what you're talking about, basically. And he's great. He's awesome. He directs, he acts, he does all that. And then my older brother is a writer and director who I've made a movie with already called Control-Alt-Delete. That's one for the kids. It's where I fuck computers.
Mm-hmm.
Before Spike Jonze and Joaquin Phoenix were in this business.
Right.
We made a computer where I literally drill holes into the side of computers and put my penis inside of them.
Mm, what's the subtext there?
Mm-hmm.
There is no subtext. Okay. It's just, you know, what you see is what you get. I think the thing we walked away from that movie was that you fuck a PC and you marry a Mac. That was sort of the...
Interesting.
I was just wondering what kind of computers you were fucking in the movie.
PCs. Mm-hmm. Predominantly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No laptops. It was circa 99, so PCs were very PC at the time.
Oh, the movie takes place in
it's pre Y2K. It's leading up to the whole Y2K hubbub and it's,
wow, I'm getting old and feeling depressed that we're doing sort of retro movies and going back to 1999.
Don't worry, every critic felt the same.
Eyeballing
hey,
your computer.
That's me just hiding my average sized penis behind that keyboard there.
Now all we need is a WGN logo with the sound.
Maybe they don't even have one.
They
maybe
probably
we're all
don't.
Tripping out
we're
here.
Making it up. All right, Allison, you got some news
for
us?
I sure do.
Tyler, hang out, crack-wise. We'll make fun of life together. Oh, let's see if we have something. Let's see. Oh, we didn't get any sound. All right.
Oh, top left. No.
Yeah.
Kate Upton.
No. That was WG. I don't know why.
I think it's like a newer, updated version of the old.
Is the sound
well, that
you're
was
talking
the news,
about
too.
When
this
they
is just
the
their
sting,
logo. Yeah,
it
just
played
when they
a
do
sound.
Their logo. Yeah.
You're talking about like their station identification.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Not the news. That's like the news.
That's going into the nightly
news
or whatever, or local news or whatever. All right, we'll figure it out. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison. Allison.
You can remove the naked picture, Tyler, by the way. I mean, Allison, it's in her bank.
I think you should have that posted up here 24/7 from now on.
So, a new video of Rob Ford has emerged. He's
right.
Back in the news. Everyone's talking
about good.
Him again.
Oh, good.
Canadian. Right,
yeah.
Been watching those mashups lately of mm-hmm. our fearless leader.
We're going to have mm-hmm. to get your take on this. So in November, he said that he quit drinking, but he clearly has not. In this video, he's in a fast food restaurant talking, and he's talking about police surveillance, and he's calling Police Chief Bill Blair a derogatory name, which it's hard to tell what he's – it's really hard to –
Bumbaclot? Is that what it said there at the bottom of the screen? Bumbaclot?
Yeah, what is that?
Bumbaclot is like a Jamaican or Trinidadian term for like I think it's like pussy, like you're a Bumbaclot.
Well, there you go. Yeah. See, he's trying – they're saying he's trying to do a Jamaican accent in the video. We have a little clip. I had trouble telling what he was saying.
Cocksucker, man. Fucking G-Blair, man. Try, man. That man takes me around 5 months, man. Bumbaclot, man. Hi, sir, bro. What mean it, man? Mirage, Clyde, Bumbaclot. Leave me alone, man.
I fall more deeply in love with this guy every time he releases a video.
Bro, we're counter-surveilling the guy, you know what I mean? He's hiding here. I'm hiding here. I'm hiding. Oh, we don't... Fuck. How much money that costs?
He's totally sober. What's everyone talking about?
No, no money, man. That Bumbaclot, man. I said, you know what? Your eyes cry, but I swear to God, man. Honestly, man.
Son, this is the goal, man.
Seriously, yeah. Shit.
Well, he's talking to like a Jamaican guy too. All we know is we've
got the best beer in the world. Sounds like it. Although I'm confused. A lot of white guys with dreads, and I don't know what's going on with the Canadians and the Jamaicans, so I can't figure it out.
Jamadians, we call
Jamadians.
Them.
Jamadians. Yeah,
I just made that up right now.
I like it.
That could have been official business with the consulate from Jamaica. You never
just
know.
Standing in a fast food joint.
That's how they do it in Burger King in Canada.
What's well, a sign of respect for him to speak his language then? Well, so not only did he say he would never drink again in November, he said that the public would never see a tape of him intoxicated again.
What?
Does he? Well, never make those kind of proclamations.
No. Yeah, you got 40 years behind you. There's got to be some more videos.
Even to friends and family, let alone, you know, publicly as a leader in your country.
Speaking about family, what's his status?
What does that mean?
While you're looking?
Like, is he part native?
No, family. What's his status? Is he
a family man, I believe.
He's married.
I
think he's got two kids. I know he's got at least a daughter and a wife.
Well, he's got a wife because remember he said he had plenty to eat at home.
All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, is she coming out? Is she doing. I want to know where
him.
She is.
Like,
you know?
Is she ever out there doing damage control for him, or is she just as vile as he is?
I don't know.
Oh my
like,
God,
you know,
I'm
it's like Anthony Weiner. Like, you know, we have much, our version of this guy is a super skinny guy that takes pictures of his cock and sends it around.
Really,
and he's super
fun.
Boring and he's like really uptight and he's not fucked up and he's not doing a Jamaican accent or anything.
Right, right.
So we have a super, like you know, G rated. Well, maybe it's a PG 13.
Yeah.
I know, but then the guy gets up there and his wife, and they're both real dour, and their faces like angel fish, and they just sit there and they hit their talking points. They don't tell
like
them to fuck off.
They're probably very gluten free.
Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like not just gluten free, but
extremely.
Very extremely.
Yeah.
Like they're paleo.
Oh, she looks dour. Oh.
Yeah.
Is that his wife though? Jesus, he must just clobber her in bed. She is terrified of him.
Yeah. I'm guessing he's more of a coaster than a tumbler, as we like to call it in the business.
Oh.
I think he's at the bottom.
He's working the base.
And probably passed out quite a bit.
A coaster rather than a tumbler.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
I made it up, but it's good.
That's very good.
Top and bottom is so derogatory.
It is.
You know what I mean? It's demeaning. And it shows almost little to no imagination.
Yeah.
Are you a top or are you a bottom?
There are many things that go on top and on the bottom. Find some.
Yes,
analogy.
Right. That's my whole point. Do I have to do all the work for the gays? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I'm trying to think of another. Like you made it sound so simple. Now I'm trying to think of another clever top and bottom analogy. Here.
Horse and saddle.
Horse and saddle. Good. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going picture frame and mantelpiece. That's too complicated.
You whip cream or you jimmies?
Oh, all right.
That's good. Right. A little happier.
Are you the wax or the wick?
That's right. Wax of the wick or the wax of the fender. Depends. You know, could be carnauba.
Wick rhymes too much with dick, though. That could get confusing, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Buckets or T-tops? That'd be up above the bucket seat there, right?
You get a little,
right.
Like,
and that sounds good. That sounds solid, like
it
buckets
is.
Or T-tops. You know what I mean? Like, that
buckets
thing could be passed around.
I'm going to use that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously trademarked.
Wait a minute. Yeah. And this is a little double entendre here. Mustache or beard?
No.
You know what I mean?
Gay, straight, top, bottom. Mm-hmm. You get it all in there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I kind of stash or brow. I like that one too because it sounds like a good German beer. But are you stash or your brow?
Also, you
covered a whole bunch of these things.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yarmulke or scalp? Probably a little bumpy.
But very close together, you know. There's like very minimal separation between yarmulke and the scalp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicken or breading.
Fist or mitt?
Wait a minute. Whoa. Yeah, okay.
Triple entendre.
Yeah,
Turns it on its head, but
yeah, we got to.
I'm trying to
if
I
had
works.
A couple of cocktails in me, I'd have to really, like, really. I'd pause before I answered.
Sounds
you
like
know what I mean?
Sounds like you're going to punch fuck somebody.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's Canadian.
Well, I don't know. It might be.
But Jamaican.
It might be one of those Canadian things I'm not aware of.
Ear
Canadian
muff.
We all do it.
Again, leading people down the wrong path, but still.
You got an extra level of thinking there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
You asked, speaking of family, what's his status,
mm-hmm.
I thought you were asking, is he in the mafia? That's how much
oh, really?
I did not take
like,
it at
is
face
he made
value.
Or not?
I always want to know, when I see the guys who wear the crazy cowboy boots or act in a certain way, or think it'd be a good idea to wear a suede vest or something to a funeral or something like that, I always go, where's his wife? Where's this guy's wife?
You want to see who's like
allowing this to
who's
happen?
Who's allowing or not laying down the law at home?
Yeah, like right. Who's the one who's walking out to the car with this buffoon and not going, whoa, 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 where are you going?
Just nodding your head like,
Hoss.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wear fringe mm-hmm. to a funeral. Get the fuck back in and get something tasteful. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But don't you get the sense with this guy that he does what he wants?
He does, but I just want to know who that woman in his life is. Again,
I also feel like with
who that tumbler is.
There are bigger battles to be
bigger
fought
fish
at home
to fry
than whether he's wearing fringe to a mm-hmm. a funeral. There's a lot of demons there, I think. So,
mm-hmm. so as a Torontonian,
mm-hmm.
is that really the
you
word?
You nailed it.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your take on Ford?
Oh, man. There's been so much. Like, okay, my fellow Torontonians might think I'm an asshole for saying this, but part of me kind of likes him. I kind of like him, too. There's a reason why he's probably getting elected again. And it's like, you know, like there's something about him. It's like it's my cousin Brandon fucking shotgunning a Mickey of vodka by the fire and then puking in the lake. You know, it's like you're just like, yeah, do it, man. See what happens when you bong that Mickey.
I'll tell you the sad truth with politicians. I really do believe this. If this guy was a airline pilot or a school teacher or bus driver, possibly even a garbage man, you'd go, there's no way we can let him to continue doing his job
He's
in this
fired.
State.
Yeah.
But because we're sort of used to politicians not really doing anything that we're aware of, I mean, there's a lot of them stumping for other politicians, having fundraisers, going to galas, being photographed with celebrities at events, Super Bowls and things like that. But we never actually see them work.
No.
And we don't exactly know what they do. And then when they go on vacation, nothing ever seems to change. And I have this theory that the bar's not too high on these guys. There's a feeling.
We don't expect much.
Well, you have this thing where it's like Toronto's a pretty good city. Seems to kind of run itself,
mm-hmm.
and you have a bloated alcoholic running it, except for he's down at the church's chicken drinking, so the city's basically doing fine
Speaking
without him.
Loose patois.
Yes, and I don't feel, the bar is higher for your school. If this guy was my twin school teacher, I'd be like, this is an out. People would be outraged, right? Yeah. Bus driver, pilot, any. You almost name the job, cop, whatever, fireman,
yeah.
almost anything. You'd go, if this guy stood out on the corner and spun the thing around that had the tire center and the arrow on it, you'd probably go, I don't trust him to do that job with that cardboard.
He's going to drop that thing.
But running a major city, you go, does he really run it?
Because it's so broad. Exactly. It's like he's just like it's not actually coming down to this guy. And I think what he's done very successfully is that he's sort of married mayoral politics with like the housewives of Atlanta. Do you know what I mean? It's like he's a fucking train wreck.
He's good for ratings.
That people, yeah, exactly. It's like he's this expose show. It's like exposing Toronto to the world.
And again, since he's not really having to do anything like fly an airplane or drive a school bus, just kind of be there. Yeah.
Also, when was the last time you heard anybody in the United States talk this long about the mayor of Toronto?
Oh.
That's all I'm saying. Like, yeah. You know, not since John Candy bought the Argonauts has the United States cared about Toronto this much.
Now, how long – what are the terms over there?
The mayoral terms?
What do we give them?
Oh, Jesus.
Is it 4 years?
I'm going to say four.
Okay.
I wish I knew more. I believe it's fairly standard.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I believe it's four.
Yeah.
He announced that he will run again.
Sure.
People are – I mean the polls are already – you know, maybe these are just shitty internet polls, you know, but they're already saying that he's kind of a lock, which for me
he's
almost
like a
makes me more proud
point.
To be Canadian. I'm like,
you know,
yeah,
your next,
let him reign.
Your next comedy – is the guy who's running against him who, you know, he's a Christian. He's family-oriented. He's never touched a drop of alcohol. He worships and volunteers at the church every Sunday, and he finds out he's down double digits in the polls. And somebody explains to him, "You got to pack on some weight.
Yeah,
you got to start getting drunk in public.
Ford.
You got to, yeah.
Ford.
Right.
Like
if this guy is drinking beer, you drink rum. If this guy's snorting coke, you smoke crack. If he's with two hookers, you get with five hookers.
It's number four did smoke crack and he was caught on
right, right. Look how so, look, yeah. his numbers yeah. went through the roof. They spiked when they found out he
I
smoked crack.
I love that. And it's so, like Soul Man, but for a Christian.
That's right. Right.
Wow,
now, meanwhile.
Soul Man, nice reference, by the way. Wow.
And he's got his daughter. He's got that 15-year-old daughter who doesn't like what's going on. But he's explaining
Mandy Moore.
That this is what it right. This is what it mm-hmm. takes
right.
to win the election. Once he gets into power,
it'll stop.
It'll stop. But she doesn't like him being a phony.
Not Mandy
but then
Moore.
He never
Dana
does.
From
he
Homeland.
He never does. Mm-hmm. He spirals
That's
out of
right.
control, and then someone has to teach him a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the daughter. I don't
That's
know.
That's right.
You know, where
I like that.
Yeah, and then everyone you know is better for it.
Yeah, and
but
it
who
just
ends up winning?
It becomes. Well, he ends up winning, but he learns a valuable lesson. But it becomes a who's the bigger train wreck. That's who the Torontonians are going
like
to vote
that
for.
It was just a get, you didn't even stumble on that. He ends up winning. That's like that's you've already written.
I got it mapped out. I got the beats.
Well, you get comedy.
He's
broken
to the bottom.
Race to the bottom.
Yeah. He broke the
yeah,
story.
I like that.
Well, that's the tagline right there.
Mm-hmm. Race hey, to the bottom. We have elephants and donkeys. What do you guys have over there?
What do we have? We got a lot of cheese. Cheese
yeah,
curds.
You got an animal?
Yeah, beavers. Beavers and moose.
But do you have a mascot for your political parties?
Oh, you're talking about, oh, yeah, Tories and...
Huh?
Yeah, they're called Tories
that and... band?
No, shit. God, I'm so not Canadian anymore.
What happened? The Mangria has gotten
and...
to you. It's must with your mind, man.
Well, you've designed it to perform as such,
it's,
my friend.
It's there to
Tories
scramble.
And ketchup chips.
Oh, by the way, I'm drinking like 100-proof sangria right now called Mangria. I'm sure your viewers... It's already going to town on my head, man.
It's all right.
Your listeners know exactly what I'm talking about.
They do.
I'm sure there is a beaver in our sort of political system somewhere.
I don't know how you expect to govern if you don't have a donkey.
Loons and beavers, man.
Loons
and beavers. Loons and beavers.
Now I want to know. I don't know what the fuck we have a still have an elephant and a donkey for. But
I don't get those. I honestly don't. I don't know what the significance of those icons are, but...
None in 2014, but either way, and Gary will find it. All right, Allison, what
still
do we
no,
got
more,
here?
More impactful, I think, than a beaver and a loon. I think that's safe to say. Just even by
Is
weight
it a
alone.
Beaver and a loon?
I don't know. I really don't. Yeah.
It'd be ironic if Ford was in the loon the loon party. Ah, let me give you let me tune you on the loon in here. National Academy of Sports Medicine. You got a New Year's resolution? How about you get paid the big bucks? You do something you love. God, I was thinking about that today. Do a job you love, man. Work with people. Work with happy people. Find them in their good space.
Become I want to do that.
It's so much better. I stood in someone's kitchen today for like 2 hours and watched her cry while she yelled at her horrible contractor with her half-finished kitchen.
Whoa.
And even though that was not my reality for that 5 hours... I stood there today. It was like that was my job.
You stepped
watching
into
this
that reality.
Woman cry and yell at her shady contractor. And I thought, let's not make the same mistake the Ace Man has made. No, work with people. National Academy of Sports Medicine. Be a personal fitness trainer. There's a huge demand for it, and you can get certified. And they guarantee you'll land a job within 60 days of certification or your money back. Visit usatrainer.com today. Get started with your free 14-day sneak peek. And, you know, fun. You can do it online. It's a 14-day trial. And, again... If you don't get the gig in 60 days, you get your money back at usatrainer.com. That's usatrainer.com. All right. Let's, yeah. Yeah?
Ready for another story?
Sure.
So remember the cops raided Justin Bieber's house?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Another
because...
Canadian, by the way. My interest has peaked.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'll fill you in. They raided his house because his neighbor's house got egged and they suspected he did it. And so they got a search warrant to go into his house to try to find video from his surveillance cameras.
It was like 11 or 12 sheriff patrol cars
yes.
rolled up on it. Like, if that's not a case of I want to check out the inside of the Biebs mansion, I don't know what the fuck is. And could someone please tell the sheriffs, just sort of do what we pay you to do, not do what you feel like doing?
It's big action, though. That is big action.
That is fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
a Biebs call.
Here's what they reportedly found in his house, but they didn't take it because they were there looking for the egg video footage. But this is what they
found.
He
egged his neighbor's house.
Yeah. So apparently he's into drugs. Two large cookie jars filled with weed, which were in plain view. Mm-hmm. 4 to 5 empty codeine bottles. I don't understand the 4 to 5.
He's drinking
Wouldn't
the scissor,
know how many.
I think.
Yeah, well, we get to that.
Right.
So 3 bongs, right. 1 in the TV room, 2 in the kitchen. Styrofoam cups scattered throughout the house that had elaborate drawings on them.
Scissor cups.
Including mm-hmm. the names of the people who used them. The cups were reportedly used for his drug of choice, Scissorp.
Scissorp.
Didn't you learn anything from Lil Wayne? I'm sorry. I just feel like Lil Wayne was a...
Well, first off...
He likes to draw on them with markers after using them. And then... go ahead.
I'm just saying, if I was like 18 and a half or 19 and you gave me $50 million and sent me to Canada and told me I could hang out with all the people I want to hang out with, I'd just fucking run amok.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just doing what... I do believe he's just doing what me or anybody I went to high school would have done if you gave us $50 million and said, just work sporadically.
I have no qualms with the way Justin Bieber has been behaving. I feel like it's a normal – I'm not to get all Dave Chappelle here, but it's a normal response to a very fucked up situation that kid is in.
He's but he abandoned his monkey.
I thought you were going to say mother. He abandoned his monkey?
No, he abandoned his monkey in Germany. It got quarantined. Molly, his monkey.
Oh, he named his monkey Molly? Okay.
Maybe Mally,
it's more dire
actually.
Than
Mally, yeah.
Okay, all right.
He doesn't even think he cared
Maybe
about the
Maybe you guys have a monkey in part of your political set.
We do. I think you're right, actually. I think we may.
That sound familiar?
I don't think her name is Molly, though.
We got a...
Bloc Québécois? Yeah, they're just really crazy names. I don't think there's animals in them.
Oh.
There has to be a maple leaf, obviously.
You guys got to get your shit together.
Oh, a rhinoceros.
Rhino. Those are the Tories.
You got a rhino.
Rhinos are the Tories.
All right. Now, that's a cool animal.
So you have a bunch of political
Not
parties.
Not indigenous to Canada, I believe. Well,
you know what? It's funny about that is that I literally, the last time I paid attention to Canadian politics, really, I feel like there was only like 4 parties. There's like 12 up there now.
Well, elephants aren't. Indigenous North America.
Yeah, but
rhinos.
But we bring them in.
You bring them in.
For our own entertainment.
It's like palm trees in California. Right?
Yeah.
We like those. They look mm-hmm. good here. They look natural.
Yeah, but somewhere, at least, the rhino feels weird in Canada, but maybe that's maybe it's the colder climate or something. I feel better. I
no,
see,
it's definitely out of place.
When I see the when I go to, as the great Kevin Nealon spoke eloquently. About the plight of the elephant in the LA Zoo, but when you go to the LA Zoo and it's July and it's 105 degrees outside and you see the elephant pen, it feels about right. Like from a climate standpoint, like it seems like if there was snow on the ground, it'd be weird.
Like you're thinking, if I was an elephant, aces.
If I was an elephant, I'd be freaked out. If there was a place where it was snowing.
Sure.
Here's Nealon eloquently speaking in front of the Los Angeles City Council.
I'm not anti-zoo, but I am anti-inadequate zoo. And I just want what's best for Billy the elephant and not what's best for the LA Zoo. And it's...
He's 50 seconds in.
I feel that...
I mean, he's 10 seconds into 1 minute speech.
An elephant has a choice to go to a...
Looks like he's on the Price is Right, by the way.
A sanctuary, like the one down in Tennessee.
Yeah, this is
going
down.
I'm sure that they would take that in 1 second. From the history that we understand about the LA County Zoo, it's not a great place for elephants. You look at all the elephants that have died there since 1975, and it's not good. So I'm in favor of moving Billy out of the zoo, as I think everybody should be, and I'm sorry that so many people are misguided. With the exhibit, for the plans for the exhibit as it exists now. Thank you.
Blackfish before Blackfish.
That was 46 seconds long.
Felt a lot longer.
We had an issue. Sorry.
If everyone is wearing a T-shirt with your name on it, it's either a really good thing or a really fucking bad thing. It means you've been wrongly imprisoned or you're the victim of police violence or whatever the fuck it is. Or it's the best day ever. Right.
You're a sports icon.
Yeah, it just kind of depends. If I gave you, all right, you can flip this magic coin. I'm not going to give you a bunch of details, but there will be a lot of people wearing a shirt with your likeness and name on it. I'd be like,
let's make it 50-50. You still wouldn't.
I don't think I would flip that coin.
Fundraiser for my cancer versus sold out show with the Apollo.
Right. Mm.
Same thing. People chanting your name.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's true, actually. Yeah. Anything where your name is sort of the marquee element of the event.
Now, anytime your name is involved with an event that has candles pushed through paper plates, that's a definite no. That's a no.
Chasing you out of town.
No.
But lighters held up.
Lighter set up, different
rock and roll concert.
Same flame, different application.
Nice. I would like to point out one. We had an issue similar to the Billy the Elephant, which was very touching to me. The Vancouver Aquarium, which is a very sort of special place for all of us Vancouverites. For whatever reason, in the 80s and 90s, they decided to have two polar bears in an open habitat in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And Vancouver is the warmest province in Canada. Mm-hmm. It doesn't snow there. And these polar bears, it's not funny. These poor polar bears, they were yellow. All right? They were weathered so badly, they turned yellow.
Wow.
And they literally withered up until they almost died. And then they took care of them.
And that's when Nealon grabbed a microphone and
went, Billy.
Wait. They took care of them, but you just made some washing their hands.
I literally don't know what.
But they did survive.
There was a big hubbub about, well, get those polar bears out of there. They're dying. They're turning. Polar bears are white. God damn it. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were turning yellow, and they were like getting tanned. It was tan polar bears.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were gone.
That is the tan amount or equivalent to the flopped over dorsal fin.
Sure.
On the blackfish.
Like the unused. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very sad. Yeah, but I do like the rhino. Like, if I was starting my own political party, I might grab that rhino.
What's your platform, sir?
Because I think that is the first
I'll
political
fucking blow
party.
Apart everyone else's platform. What fat, lazy elephant over there.
What political beliefs?
Stupid donkey. What I do?
I understand the mascot. The
Talk
mascot
to the horn, bitch! I'm fucking clad in Kevlar. I run fast as a horse. I'm 3,000 pounds and I can bust through a fucking safe house.
And I think the idea now is that rhinos kill more people per annum than any other creature on the planet.
I think it's the hippos,
yeah.
But I don't want that similar. As a mascot. It's got a lot of negative baggage and connotations, sluggish.
They look dopey.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you ever see one shit at the zoo, it's a disaster.
Ooh.
Fucking underwater. That. It's an aquatic disaster. It's a maritime disaster when those things shit in the water.
You've seen a hippo shit?
Yes.
What's it like?
What isn't it
it's
not
a disaster.
Like?
I don't know.
Well, imagine a creature. Like even if Tyler shit, and Tyler's a husky guy.
I do all the time. I shit
but
underwater.
Underwater, like if you had a natural birthing for male, this is as close as we get to that natural birth. You know, we should start a movement. You know, man was meant to shit in the water. That's, you know, this earth is 70% shit.
What kind of animal lets it touch the air first and then splash
into
a bowl?
When you're in that buoyant phase, when you're sitting down, you're pressing, you're pushing, it's visceral.
It's not how we were meant to do it.
No. We're meant to shit at sea.
Have your legs ever fallen asleep while you're
in
the
sea.
Toilet?
In sea. That's what I meant. Yeah. In sea. And this hippo, so you can imagine if you're sitting in, you know, 4-inch thick lucite thing staring at Tyler swimming around naked, and he just decided to shit. But now imagine if Tyler weighed, you know, 2,600 pounds and just ate like, a bale of hay for fucking breakfast, you know what I mean, and three heads of cabbage, and then decided
fibrous.
And then decided to shit all at once, like it was a competition, and you were just watching it. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's not gluten-free.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know. They eat tons of.
It sounds like a lot of volume in a bunch of different directions as opposed to.
It was an explosion. Look, the water changed. It changed everything. And physically, spiritually, it all changed that day at the zoo. How much does a hippo weigh? And I would guess it's, you know, male. I need male, hip, full grown male. But
you took a stab. You said 2,600 pounds.
I'd say 2,600.
That was a blind guess.
Yeah, I would lower it a little bit. I would probably lower it to more 1,900. But I would imagine it's even bigger. And they live off of.
I'm going fourth. Oh wow,
6,000 pounds.
What?
No.
That's Canadian. That's Canadian.
And also, do they just eat hay and cabbage? I don't know if that's the diet of the.
They kill natives, but they don't eat them.
They just spit them out.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they got those flat.
Yeah, my whole thing. Whether you're a great white shark. Or whether you're a hippo, if you're going to fucking kill me, eat me. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that thing where the great white came up, took his leg off, spat it out,
fuck
and then he bled out on the beach.
I think that's just like eye for an eye, man. I mean, think about how much game hunting we do here, you know, just for sport.
Yeah.
Not to get all political and serious, but, you know, we kill things and don't eat them.
It's the third largest land mammal. I know, but I feel like they're more noble than we are. Yeah, all right.
Like in some restaurant, they're making Adam toe soup.
Oh, like just using his toes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
throwing them back. The
three tons. Yeah. That's right. Wow.
I feel that way when I eat chicken wings. I imagine like a table full of chickens sitting around eating like human thumbs. Like they're you know, they look like little drumettes. They're just eating our thumbs in like a pile. Like, hey, it's 5 cents a thumb night.
With
and
blue
we
cheese.
Go out and you eat like the chickens eat like 100 thumbs with blue cheese dressing.
Let's like, hens get in free.
You heartless chickens. They throw the rest of you away. It's no good.
Let's not go to Buffalo Wild Wings together. I feel like I feel like that kind of banter is what really sort of harshes my mel a little bit. You know,
I wouldn't
watch the game
there.
Okay.
I know my venue.
We should post Gary's search history from every show
on
the website.
We should. 3,300 pounds.
Job boards.
It goes up to 7,000 pounds. I mean, that's a lot of beast.
That's huge.
Yeah, but again, if we lived in water and shit in water, I think we'd all get up over 500-600 pounds too.
I think we'd be happier.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Happier creatures, yeah.
You're buoyant. It's nice. It's how man was meant to shit. All right, let's bring it home, baby.
That's
girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. It's a bit cunt. You know you want me, boy.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Ah, LegalZoom, baby. You know we love these guys. Last will, testament, living trust, protect your assets, your family. Get a little something called peace of mind. You want to start a business? Might I suggest LegalZoom? Help you launch your dreams, save a ton of money, save a ton of time. They've helped over 1 million businesses, and they earned is the operative word here, earned an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau. They don't just hand those things out to the fly-by-night businesses. LegalZoom, step by step, they will help you. And they've created a team of experts in law and technology to help you.
LegalZoom is not a law firm, but can connect you with a third-party attorney and provide you with self-help services. For special savings, enter Adam in the referral box at checkout. Please don't let another month go by before you take care of these things for your family and business. From wills to business formation, trademark applications, powers of attorney, and even bankruptcy help, go to LegalZoom.com.
All righty. My book, President Me, available on Amazon. You can pre-order if you like. I think the cover's coming out pretty darn soon. You check that out. Bald Brian as well. If you go to mine, I don't want to sound like a prick, but if you go to Amazon, you go to mine, I think Bald Brian's will pop up there as well.
Yeah, vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Now, customers also bought this. All frequently right. bought together.
Tyler. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
The Hulu series, Deadbeat.
Thank you to the live studio audience.
April 9th, the movie. Someone Mary Berry. It is out in select theaters February 7th. And you can go to Amazon and iTunes and all that good stuff. Website, TylerLabine.com. And Twitter, right. Ty Labine as well. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla. For Ty and David and Allison and Bald saying, mahalo. Fuck you, Carolla, you suck. You're not funny anymore. Let the guests talk and blah, 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 and shut up and let Dr. Drew answer the question.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Come out to the live podcast in Buffalo, February 1st. And a live podcast at Treasure Island in Las Vegas, February 21st. And Adam's solo stand-up show in Detroit. At the Motor City Casino on January 30th. Tickets for all the live podcast, stand-up Mangria events, and more can be found at adamcarolla.com.